in the party, Richter!
Welcome back to another episode of See You at the Body, Richter. I am your host, Joseph Beck Castro. With me, as always, is Aaron Frescas.
Hello.
And Chris Chapman.
Abajordo.
And we're going to be continuing our coverage, I guess, of Arnold's 1982 vehicle, Conan the Barbarian.
Joining us today, we have a very special guest, a award-winning writer, teacher, and shaper of young minds, Brendan Banovitz. However it's said. Yeah, it's good enough.
Say it again, Brendan.
He said it's just he said it right. It's Pianowitz. Piano.
Like
piano.
Like piano?
Yeah, that's the way
like
he said it perfect.
Sandwich. It's piano. Yeah,
it's like, okay, my name is Brendan Piano Sandwich.
Anyway, welcome to our very tolerant show.
I had no idea I was on a racist show.
Oh, very racist.
Yeah, you haven't listened to it, have
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Clearly racist.
Usually not towards Polish people, but, you know, we'll
spread
make some exceptions.
It's usually whatever the guest is.
with all of our guests, we are going to ask you a bunch of questions.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions, and I want to have them answered immediately.
So, Brendan, hello.
Yeah, hey.
Oh, wait, we didn't introduce what movie we were doing.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. What kind
Sorry,
of podcast is
I'm not listening, apparently. Okay. First off, yes, have you seen this movie?
Yeah, I've seen it. I watched it like four times in four
days. Well, I mean, like before we watched it.
I saw like clips of it when I was a kid, but I always turned the channel. You know?
Okay. Good call. also, what's your favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
I don't really have one.
No?
I don't like any of them. They're all terrible. Yeah,
like none of them.
Yeah,
not
I don't
just
like any
accident?
Of them.
Like not.
I actually hate all of his movies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
But I do like Arnold though. I just don't like his movies.
Oh, okay.
Why would you like him then? Are you a fan of his politics?
I liked his bodybuilding time when he's doing steroids and shit.
Gotcha.
Those are the good old days. He went downhill after that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So those are the good old days.
That's
so
glory
really
days.
Nothing. Like you've seen. I'm trying to think of probably the best one would be. What, Terminator 2? Not a fan.
Yeah, that movie sucks.
Why does it suck, though?
I don't know. If you watch the special effects now, they're pretty bad.
Oh, yes, with everything that's older, yeah, I guess. But it's still
if you watch all of his movies right now, they're terrible. Like, in comparison to the movies we have right now. And I did. I watched them all the past week, just so I'm ready for this podcast. They all suck.
Okay. I honestly can't tell if you're being serious or not, but...
I'm being dead serious, Aaron.
We shouldn't have been racist to him. We got started off the wrong foot.
Well, more
but
racist,
also,
yeah.
anyway, okay, well, I guess that answers the second question I was going to ask you. Which one would you say is the worst, then, that you've seen?
Like, his worst movie?
Yeah.
Probably that one with Danny DeVito, Twins. That movie sucks.
Really?
It's terrible. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they don't even look
I
like
twins. I honestly can't tell if he's been serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you actually watch the movie?
Yeah, I watched it yesterday.
Like, this movie's bullshit. They don't even look like twins.
Yeah, it's bad casting. It's like the worst casting ever.
Okay. Well,
they should have got Lou Ferrigno, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Hulk.
Yeah.
But, okay, well, thanks for being on the Arnold Schwarzenegger podcast, then. I probably should have asked you that before we invited you on, but hey, whatever.
Yeah, you know what, though? We're here now. I'm ready.
Not everybody can love it, you know? You can't just have people on that love them.
Exactly. It's good to have, like, a refreshing
opinion.
Is
one movie I did like. There's one Schwarzenegger movie I liked it. You guys haven't reviewed it, and I don't know why.
Which one?
Pumping Iron is a badass movie.
That is a good movie. So basically when he's playing himself.
Yeah, when he's playing himself, he does a great job.
He's playing himself in most of his movies anyways, so.
Well, that's true.
Not as good as Pumping Iron.
That means you gotta like at least part of Last Action Hero, then.
No. not at all.
All right. Okay. So anyway, anything else before we get started?
Are we done here?
No, I think that's it. So we're going to go through the summary. We're going to hear all of our thoughts, and mostly negative, I imagine, about this movie, except for the boobs. So go ahead and take it away, Chris.
Oh, it's my turn. Okay, gotcha. So we start off the movie with a quote The quote is, "That which does not kill us makes us stronger." Which is like a good quote. It's very thematically relevant, but it's misattributed. The movie claims that it comes from some German dude when everyone knows that's a Kelly Clarkson original.
I thought that quote is in Pumping Iron as well.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah. I guarantee it's somewhere in there.
Like, once I saw that quote, my first thought was, uh-oh, looks like someone took intro to philosophy at a community college, huh? I just want to remake this movie just so I can change the Nietzsche quote to... Is that how you say his last name?
Yes. Yeah, Nietzsche.
Okay. Unless you want to be pretentious about it, and then you get,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I'm sure there's a better...
Nietzsche. Anyway, change it to, like, at the beginning of something that doesn't make sense for the movie. Like, right now, I looked him up. I'm trying to decide between, like, it is not lack of love, but lack of friendship that makes happy marriages. Just for, to start the movie off?
There you go.
Or we should consider every day lost in which we have not danced at least once.
That's a good quote for this movie.
And then it goes to the movie. By the way, what's the big deal with Nietzsche? Like, I'm stupid, so I don't actually know. Like, everyone's, like, on his balls all the time, so.
Yeah, he's like a nihilist.
Yeah.
Oh. I did.
He's also a Nazi sympathizer. He loved Nazis.
Okay. So at this point we get a narrator come in. He identifies himself as Conan's chronicler and begins to tell us about the age of high adventure. We watch a sword being forged in darkness as the opening credits roll, and we also get glimpses of a woman and child. And the music in this movie really got me. Like, most of this movie is kind of goofy, but the music for some reason kind of carried me through in a lot of parts. It's just a good score.
You like the music?
It's a good score for a fantasy movie. Like, it's not... I wouldn't listen to it, like, outside of the movie, but for a fantasy movie, it's
near good. The end, it just kept playing, like, Germanic, like symphony, like, opera. Yeah. Like, nonstop.
It works. It works.
You said that he was making the sword?
Yeah, we just see the sword making
over
the credits.
Wouldn't it be cooling it off in the snow? Wouldn't that, like, make it all brittle?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's bad. I don't know that much about sword hacking.
Can we take a moment to talk about the chronicler?
Sure.
Oh, makeup, it's like, right?
Yeah, he's great.
The chronicler, he kind of drops out of the whole movie.
Yeah, he comes back for a couple parts, but like
he doesn't do a ton of work. He comes back in 1 hour 20 minutes. And you're like, wait, who is this guy again?
Which is fine, because he's kind of batshit insane. So, you know, if he was there the whole time, it would probably make the movie weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would make the movie weird.
Yeah.
It's not weird as it is.
No, the movie makes total sense at the moment. Yeah. Everything's good.
That was one of my complaints. I wanted more chronicler.
Dr. Dre, the chronicler.
Yeah.
So as the sword is getting finished, we move up to a snowy mountain range where a man that kind of looks like Kenny Loggins to me. Holds the sword and talks to his son Conan, who is the same kid that we saw before when the sword was being forged.
I like Conan's dad. I sure hope nothing bad happens to him.
No, I'm sure he'll be fine. Right. Yeah. So Kenny Loggins is telling his kid some story about how Andre the Giant stole something from Earth, Wind, and Fire. And anyway, the point of the story being that the only thing a man can trust in this world is his sword, and to a lesser degree, his god Crom.
Right.
So is that like a thing for, like, he's talking about his dick?
I assume so. Because it's got very, like, drunk dad rant energy right here. This part is like, can't trust fucking anyone in this world. You can't trust women. You can't trust men. You sure as shit can't trust God, but your sword. Yeah.
Oh, I've totally heard this speech from my dad when I was little. 100%.
So later on, we see some shots of some dudes on horseback bearing a standard that looks like two snakes looking at each other. It kind of looks like that weird medical symbol with the two snakes, like, wrapping themselves around a stick with wings. So I'm just going to assume these guys are like the medieval Doctors Without Borders. Intercut with all these shots, we see Kenny Loggins' village as people are working, and little Conan is on the edge of the forest pretending to fish, I think. Like, I can't tell what the fuck he's doing, playing.
Sitting there. What else is he going to do? It's the olden days.
Yeah, that's true.
Beat off.
That's probably what he was about to do.
By the way, I might slip up several times during this podcast and call him Conan instead of Conan. Yeah.
Same.
But, yeah.
I kind of, like, tuned out when he was fishing. I just checked out.
Yeah. That makes sense.
You also see that little tiny, like, redheaded ginger tattooed angry guy.
Well, first, we go back to the guys on horses who, for some reason, also have one random dude who's just trying to walk some dogs. I just thought that was really funny. I was wondering, like, do you think they give the dogs to the guy that everybody hates? Like everybody else gets to be on a horse and he just has to take the dogs into battle?
Nah, I'd want to be dog guy.
I don't know. Those dogs are annoying. Like, you think Aaron's dog's annoying? Imagine having, like, all those dogs.
Whoa, who said my dog's annoying?
Well, they had to say
it. Just implying.
Yeah. So, and then little Conan notices someone coming through the forest and sees a character that I'm going to refer to as the Ginger Nut. Because the only two things I know about him are that he has red hair and he looks crazy as shit.
Yeah, and he's only in like that one tiny part, right?
I couldn't tell. I thought the dude that we meet later is also the Ginger Nut, just older.
Which guy?
The guy who frees
him. I thought
him.
So too. I thought he came back, but I was.
He's
sure
got a crazy red curly afro and a big crazy red beard. I was like, that is the only thing I recognize from that dude. So I'm going to assume it's the same character.
Hey, right, okay. I have questions later too, but
we'll get there. But
all the white people in this look the same to me.
Absolutely,
that's what I was going to say. Definitely. I don't want to sound racist, but a lot of the white people look the same. Again, bad casting, horrible casting.
It's a problem. It's a problem with every fantasy.
Yeah,
I mean, definitely. One of the many problems with fantasy genre in and of itself. But that's one of the big things. Is I mean, everyone's white and everyone looks the same because they're all fucking dirty. No one's got like, you know, you don't got the skater, you know, the punk. The jock of like medieval guys. It's just all, you know, they're all wearing like loincloths or fucking lion skin or whatever the fuck they wear. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Eel boots.
Stupid names too. That too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst.
So all these riders storm into the village and start killing everybody as Kenny Loggins prepares to fight and Conan's mom goes to find Conan's mom. My favorite part of the battle sequence, by the way, has to just be the dude that's just bonking everybody on the head with a cartoon mallet.
Yeah, I love that guy.
So Loggins is doing a pretty good job of fighting off the invaders, but does eventually get taken out by an axe directly to the spine. And as if that wasn't enough, he also gets ripped apart by a couple of dogs in S&M gear as his family watches dispassionately, which is just rude.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. He just entered the danger zone.
Yeah. I actually like the gore in this movie. There's a lot of gore.
There is a lot of blood in this movie.
Like just beheading people.
Yep. Arms getting lopped off. Heads. At this point, it seems like Conan and his mom, I think, are like the only two villagers still left alive. We get a prolonged scene of the three leaders of the raid taking their helmets off and looking at the sweet sword that Kenny Loggins made. And I think the point of that scene just seems to be the dangers of helmet hair. Because every single one of them takes off their helmet and they have this like gloriously long hair, but clearly nobody fucking worried about the helmets because it goes everywhere.
Wait, are there, there's three of them?
There's three, yeah, it's the mallet
like
guy.
Like lieutenants or whatever?
It's the mallet guy, it's Discount Jesse Ventura, and it's Darth Vader.
They look the same. No, see, that didn't look like just Discount Jesse Ventura to me. It looked like a broke-ass Gerard Depardieu.
What?
Yeah.
All right.
And not in this scene so much, but later I was like, what the fuck is Gerard Depardieu doing in this movie?
I mean, maybe.
What is he Gerard Depardieu doing in this movie?
Oh, I mean, you know who that is? That's Vigo.
Vigo?
No, it's not.
He looks like Vigo.
People say I look like Vigo.
See it?
Yeah, it kind of makes me sad.
Well, I don't know. Vigo's a very powerful guy.
I want to host a show that you're on and be like, it's Vigo! And just bring you up like that.
People have. It kind of hurts my feelings. Who's the bad guy, like the worst guy? Who's the major antagonist?
It's James Earl Jones.
He looks really racially ambiguous in this film.
Yeah, he's a little paler than usual.
He's
the
only non-white person.
Yeah,
he is basically the wizard. Not necessarily, yeah. The wizard's Asian. Subotai is...
His name's Subotai? I thought it was Super Guy. I haven't done a Super Guy throughout this whole thing. I'm like, why does Conan call him Super Guy?
His name's Turbotai?
Yeah, exactly.
Turbo time. No, he's like, hey, super guy.
Time.
Put that cookie down.
Anyway.
Okay.
So so the big boss turns out to be James Earl Jones, like we've said, who like has a staring contest with Conan's mom and then chops off her head with her husband's sword when he loses.
Okay. So like, does he have... Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm a little unclear on this scene because like, I don't understand it. Did he just stare her down till she gave up? Did he like charm her with magic?
Oh, yeah.
Is it just like the drama of the scene?
I think
like,
he has,
I really
like,
don't understand.
Hypnotizing powers or something.
Because he starts to walk away and I don't understand why.
No, so
because
she was
her
holding
over.
her sword up.
Yeah.
Like to fight him.
Yeah.
And then he like stared her down and she like put it down.
She puts it down.
And he's like, you know, good girl. or whatever. And he's like going to walk away and he's like, psych. Like, no one puts a sword to me. I'm brutal. I am a barbarian. And then he cuts her head off. So he's just like a dick, you know?
Sure.
He's just got to assert his dominance.
Yeah.
Which he does very well.
I thought she had it coming, dude.
Yeah.
Like, she was really annoying.
Yeah, she would not shut up.
I wasn't sure if he had like a hypnotizing power over like people slash women.
Because it kind of seems that way. They do focus on his eyes a lot. Like,
yeah,
he's got like deep blue eyes, and then a couple of times he has snake eyes. So,
like, yeah. I thought about that, and I was like, that's fucking stupid. But then I was like, he turns into a snake later. So, like, what's really stupid? I don't know.
I actually like that part. I like the part where he turns into a
snake. I think his voice is just hypnotizing enough.
It is.
That's also true.
Yeah,
he has superpowers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, anyway, Darth Vader gives the sword to his lieutenant, who I call Discount Jesse Ventura, and walks away, leaving little Conan to become a child slave. I thought it was funny that on top of everything else, he also disrespects the sword. He's like, eh, it's all right, but I don't need it. He gives it to his other dude.
Mm-hmm.
And then Conan and all the other child slaves are marched across the countryside to a big mill, where each one is shackled to a spoke, and they spend all their time pushing. Just like endlessly pushing that thing around in a circle.
If you watch that scene carefully, I swear to God, you'll see Jeffrey Epstein in the background. Jesus. I swear to God.
Before he could afford the plane.
That was how he powered his plane. Just those kids turning the wheel. That doesn't make sense at all. But.
Nope. Well, what the fuck else is that wheel doing? I don't understand what that wheel is doing in the first place.
So, okay, the wheel is called the Wheel of Pain.
Really?
Oh, okay, so it's just torture for kids? Like, I don't understand.
No, I don't know. The only reason I know that is because I looked up the trivia.
Oh, okay.
And it's one of the comic things, I think. So,
but it doesn't kill Conan.
So
it obviously makes him stronger.
This redheaded kid. No, it's this redheaded kid that frees him. Sorry, there's some redheaded kid that's on. That's like with a little whip. We're watching the movie right now.
Isn't that kid blonde? I thought that kid was blonde.
No, he's a redheaded and all black.
He's.
Are you guys colorblind?
Are you sure?
Way ginger.
Yeah, he's pretty red.
Yeah, but are you sure it's the same dude? Like, I don't know.
Oh,
that
I have
guy
no idea.
Seems, I don't know. Anyway.
He seems older than him.
Okay, so they're pushing the big wheel. They montage us through the years as Conan grows up and becomes Arnold. And it is revealed that he is the only survivor and is basically pushing the entire mill by himself.
That's what it figured. Like, all the other kids died, right?
I have to assume.
Losers.
Or got sold or whatever.
They didn't have what it took to turn that wheel.
Exactly. So they deserve to die. Eventually, a man comes by and releases Arnold from his work at the mill and takes him to a fight club. And again, because of the crazy-ass huge red afro and his big red beard, I assumed it was the ginger nut, and that's what I'm going to call him for the rest of the movie. So
I also like the fact that somehow pushing this wheel around, like, was able to maximize every single muscle in Arnold's body.
Like, his legs, that made sense, but then his upper body is also, like, super ripped.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, his lats and everything, it's like, you know. And also, they must be feeding him, like, amazing protein and shit.
Yeah.
Do you think he spends, like, his
maybe he ate all the other kids.
Oh, well, I was thinking, like, if they are feeding him, it's probably like there's probably someone that's standing there with the fork, and as he comes around, he takes a bite of it, and then he keeps like he walks around, and then they get another forkful, and he takes a bite of it, and then he keeps walking around, so that way they can work at the same time as they're eating.
Right.
That's brilliant.
Definitely. So the ginger nut takes him across the country to some random fight club.
Yeah, I think that's a different guy.
I don't know.
I don't know though. Anyway.
But he gets thrown into a pit with a dude who has fangs, and we get some classic Arnold screams as the dude just bites the shit out of him. There's a lot of biting and screaming until Fang switches up his tactic and tries to headbutt Arnold like an angry goat for some reason, which does not work out. Arnold gets the upper hand and bashes Fang's head against the wall and then knocks his ass out.
Yeah, it was a weird fight scene. Like, if you look back on it, it's very strange.
Yeah.
And one thing no one said so far is Arnold... If you look at Arnold's dialogue, if we wrote out his dialogue, must be
definitely.
He hardly says anything in the entire film. It's almost like a silent movie.
Yeah,
there's not a whole lot of dialogue in this movie in general.
And definitely the least of it comes from Arnold.
It's not Conan the philosopher. Conan the Chatty Cathy.
Well, it starts with Nietzsche, you know. You would expect a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
So the narrator cuts in at this point to tell us that Arnold to tell us of Arnold's growing bloodlust and self-confidence as we see a montage of Arnold winning fight after fight and the Ginger Nut just raking in the cash. Yeah. Eventually, the Ginger Nut takes Arnold to be trained by the quote-unquote war masters in the East, which I'm pretty sure just means dudes who know karate. Like, I don't
know. Yeah, I don't know why they did that. Like, we're going to make this kid a slave. Now we're going to send him to China. We're going to teach him how to fight.
Which would be fine, but they don't use him past that.
Yeah, exactly.
For fighting. So why did
they don't
train
recruit him?
Yeah.
It's not like they recruit him to the army or anything. Yeah. Make him the dog guy. They're like, no, we're just going to keep him caged.
And I just really like this part because it's the part where he's being trained how to use a sword, and the master dude is like being really harsh on him and like, no, you have to do it exactly like this, and then he slaps him in the face a bunch of times. This dude over to the side just starts laughing.
Yeah.
And then the master like notices, kind of nonchalantly walks over there, and then roundhouse kicks him and knocks him the fuck down.
It's like he like kicks him right above the dick.
Yeah. And it's like, what did I do?
Yeah. That was a great scene.
That was amazing.
Probably one of the better scenes in the film. You're going to do a highlight reel or trailer.
That should have been in the trailer.
It's also amazing how Conan's original area and the East, which I guess is Asia, looks eerily like Southern California.
Remarkably like Southern California. Like someplace that's only a couple hours outside LA.
Like Antelope Valley. Maybe like Acton or Palmdale or something. It's really weird.
So he also learns to read and write, apparently, which we see in a scene that takes a sharp left turn, as the narrator tells us Conan was also lent out as a stud to father children.
Yeah, I like that
scene. Oh, I didn't catch that stud part. I just thought they were giving him women.
That was a great scene.
No.
He was
just like,
and we
see a young
like,
woman shoved into Arnold's cell.
Yeah, he's like, and they're all watching him.
Yeah, they're all watching, and like... This scene is uncomfortable
like,
as hell.
Keep it up, Arnold. Keep it up, Conan. Keep it up.
They call him Arnold.
This scene is, like, uncomfortable as hell. And they try to soften it by, like, making Arnold, like, he like, kind of, like, shields her from the people watching and wraps her in fur before he lays her down on the bed and stuff. But it's still, like...
Got this, like, creepy-ass smile.
Yeah, it's especially the smile at the end of the scene.
They could have cut that scene, like, if we're being honest.
Yeah, it's the early
80s. They could have. Yeah, that's the thing.
It's just live action porn. Like how we went from like plays and theaters to TV and movies. Like that's what porn was for them back then.
Yeah, but it's soft
just
porn.
Watching actual fucking.
Yeah. You know, I did have something to say. I wish I would have known about this film. Like if I would have known about this when I was in middle school.
That's exactly my
That's half the reason you watch Arnold movies.
I think I found every film but this one. You know?
Like, I didn't realize that before I watched this that there was nudity in it.
Yeah.
So that's probably for the best, though, because it would have been, like, 14-year-old Aaron's favorite movie if I had known that.
I found, like, the lost tape from my childhood.
Parents would just be like, you're renting Conan the Barbarian again? Wow. You probably a pretty good movie. Yeah. You should love watching it in the room by yourself.
Yeah.
The door locked.
Maybe we should watch it with you.
No. That's where I practice my sword moves. Yeah. So I can
that's why I'm like, always breathing heavy when I'm done.
You go to the VHS store, they're like, you know what? We're just going to let you keep this one.
Just because we'd rather not touch it anymore.
Yeah.
It's always returned like at the same spot where they barely have to they just have to rewind it from this part right here.
Yeah. Right. So we also see that Arnold has endeared himself to the Eastern Masters, as one of them seems to respect Conan more than his own sons, and here we get one of the famous lines, which is, what is best in life? And Arnold answers, crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentations of other women.
I don't know, I kind of like the other guy's answer.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not bad.
He said something about feeling the wind in your hair. And
yeah,
like,
some stuff.
I just wish he would have got a little more poetic with it. Just like feeling the sand beneath your toes as you walk along the beach, reading a good book.
I like the way Arnold said it too. He sounded like a football player who had a concussion. Like he said it.
Yeah, he did.
The first signs of CTE.
Like, no, calm down,
So one night, the Ginger Nut gets drunk and breaks Arnold's chains and sets him free, like Lassie style. He's like, get out of here. You gotta go.
I don't know who that is, because like all I have written down is, wait, why did the dad from Pixar's Brave free Conan? Like, also, who was that guy? That's all I have down. I don't know.
I don't know. Later, we see Arnold is being chased by wild dogs until he stumbles into a cave where he finds a whole lot of corpses. One of the corpses catches his fancy as it's on a throne and holding onto a pretty sweet sword.
So is this supposed to be one of the guys from earlier then? Random king or whatever?
Yeah, like at the end of the scene, Arnold says Crom, and I don't know if that means he thinks it is Crom or if it's just a gift from Crom.
It's pretty stupid. So
he's not smart. Arnold basically in this movie, Conan basically dropped out of homeschooling.
Well, shit, it ain't
pretty bad.
It ain't Conan the PhD student. It's Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah.
So Arnold takes the sword from the corpse and bangs it on a rock to get all the rust off, which any blacksmith will tell you is the number one way to take care of your sword.
That was a really crusty sword too, right?
Yeah, it was like an old-ass crusty sword. It had a bunch of rust and like all sorts of it almost looked like it was under the water, like it was covered in
I don't know why. I would have just left that sword. I'd be like, nah, this one's not good.
That's why you're not a good barbarian, because you can't see that the good fucking sword is hiding under all that rust. You're a terrible barbarian.
That's what I do with my dick if I haven't smashed in a while.
Wow.
Smash it against the table, get the rust off.
There you go.
Ready to roll.
Yeah, that crust is a bad sign, Joe. You should get that checked out.
You must be married.
Yeah. Well, there was a reason we were starting late today. So, Aaron was waiting outside my parents' house for my parents are out of town. My wife's over there.
Nothing's weird.
Yeah. Parents are gone. Time to watch Conan all week.
My parents are out of town, so my wife was allowed to come over.
Well, they don't know.
So we're in this cave. There's skeletons. He finds the sword, right?
Yeah. So he grabbed the sword, and before he leaves, he decides that his reversal of fortune is thanks to Crom. And he exits the cave to kill those dogs. And I just really, for some reason, could not get out of my head the Billy Madison scene. Like, he goes out there with a sword, and it's just Billy Madison with a dodgeball. Like, now you're all in big, big trouble.
I mean, if you think about it, this could have been anybody, though. This could have been, like, it didn't have to be Grom. It could have just been, like, a bunch of dead people.
Exactly. It could have been literally anybody. It could have been a bunch of losers who died in a cave.
Yeah, from smoke inhalation, you know?
They're LARPers. Just a fucking Nerf sword.
So anyway, later we see Arnold running along in his new dogskin suit when he finds a hut.
<Did not miss that. laughs>
He definitely has a lot more fur on after that scene. He finds a hut where a sinister hot lady is clearly trying to seduce him, and like any reasonable person, he enters without a word.
Of course, she wants to fuck. She's hot. Yeah. Why would you not go in there?
Yeah, once you start talking, that's the only way to fuck it up. If she's already DTF, you just go in there and you do it.
So, this lady inside the hut literally is like crawling around on the floor and does everything short of drawing him a diagram to show that she wants to bone him. And she also tells him that she was told he would come and that he has prophesied to become a king and to crush the snakes of the earth. The snake line catches Arnold's attention and he asks her about the symbol that he saw as a child of the two snakes coming together. She recognizes the symbol and replies that there is a price for the information, and that price is one sperm donation.
It's a different kind of snake.
Only ticket to Pound Town. She's aching for that bacon. Continue.
So Arnold gets to work, and the crazy lady moans out some directions to Themora, where he can find what he seeks. Mm. So right about here, the conversation hits its climax, and Arnold, having never seen the female orgasm before, gets a little spooked and throws the lady into the fire, where she transforms into a ball of spiritual flame and flees to another plane of existence. But I don't know why I'm explaining this to you guys. Obviously, everyone here knows how sex works.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Of course.
When girls. He threw her into the fire.
Oh, yeah, I laughed out.
He couldn't think of what else to do, so nope. He just throws her into the fire.
Fuck you.
He's like, what's wrong with her?
I really don't. I don't know why the scene is in this movie. I really do. When I was watching this, I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like, what the fuck? Fuck was that about?
I have no idea. I have to assume it's like from the books and shit. Like I have to assume,
but it's like exposition. Like you're gonna find the snake guy. But I mean, I think it was just an excuse to get like some nudity in the film.
Yeah, which not even that much nudity. That particular scene, like you don't see her nude really. It's just a little bit of boning.
Did you put it on slow motion?
I did not. Is there something to see in slow motion?
Aaron, could you put it on slow motion?
No, there wasn't anything.
Son of a bitch. Nothing.
Also, like, I thought he was going to actually have to fight her. So, like, the fact that he just throws her to the fire?
Yeah,
I was like, oh, fuck. Now he's going to fuck this.
And we say throw. It's not like he like picks her up and it's like a chuck. Like, you think of like somebody chuck like, something on the ground or something. Like, he just does that. He's just like, yoink.
It'd be like if you had a spider jumped on you or something, like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. He flicked it into the fire. Yeah.
You know, as soon as this happened, I'm like, some shit's going to go down. Like, that woman's going to come back sometime and fuck him up, you know, for throwing her in the fire. And she never comes back.
No, she finished. What is she? She don't need him anymore.
She don't need him anymore.
I don't know. I thought she'd come back and like do something bad to him, but she's just gone. She's just gone out of the whole movie.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, she'd come back and get some more of that Conan D.
Yeah, I didn't know if he had her love child or like, I thought something would happen, you know, like some demonic love child.
Well, that's what the movie Conan the Destroyer is about. But, you know, he's destroying in that movie. That's when she comes back.
So Arnold sees all this stuff and then just looks out the hut window and goes, Crom. And I'm like, dude, not everything is Crom. Like, you gotta. There's other stuff happening in the world.
I think he says come.
I think that's one of the few words he could say in English. Like when he was acting, because he's coming from Austria. So he's like, what words could you say? He's like, Crom. All right, we'll just have you say that whenever we need you to say
it. Yeah, whenever there's an empty space, just say that.
Check.
So the next morning, Arnold gets ready to set out and is begged for food by a thief who's chained up by the hut. That thief's name is Subotai, not Super Guy.
Super Guy.
And he and Arnold hit it off right away, so Arnold frees him and they travel together. But what I'm wondering is, was Subotai just sitting out there the night before listening to him have sex for a while?
Well, he's like, a whole lot of sex.
No, not a lot, but he's just like, man, this is the best night I've had in months.
I'm curious if she would have chained him up after she finished boning him. Like, if he already, like, banged a super guy, like, already took care of business.
I don't know.
And she's like, super guy? Not really. And that's why she chained him up.
Maybe.
It's such a weird scene because, like, he's rolling up and this woman just pops out. She's like, hey, come inside my hut. It's like,
exactly.
It's weird.
But apparently, weird Aaron and Joe scene. Would go right the fuck in there.
Why not? She's hot. And she's big Arnold Schwarzenegger. If she does anything, I throw her in the fire. Like, you know what happens.
Her in the fire.
Yeah.
So, as they travel, they're camped out one night. They have a little theological discussion as Subotai tells Arnold about his god, and Arnold tells him about Crom.
What are they eating, like cat or something like that?
I don't know. I couldn't tell what it was. I assumed lizard, because they eat a few lizards in this movie.
Okay.
So Subo introduces Arnold to various cities as they travel and keep looking for that snake symbol.
They run everywhere.
Yeah, they're just running everywhere.
They run a lot.
Well, like, while we're watching this, Erica questioned, she's like, why are they running and not using a horse? I'm like, I just figured, like, horses are probably expensive as fuck.
Yeah, super
fucking
expensive. It's
like buying a car that you can feed carrots to.
Because they don't have they don't have horses until later after they stole all those fucking jewels and shit.
I like how we get to a part of the film where they just don't have any ambition. They're like, we're just going to fucking party.
Yeah, you know? Man. Fuck it. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Life sucked back then. Just be drunk all the time.
Yeah, they're just drinking and partying. That's the Arnold I like to see. You know?
A little bit more like Pumping Iron Arnold.
And this is the part where as they're running around, and asking all these people about snakes, there's this one part where Arnold just goes up to these dudes, and he just does like... He does that thing where he tries to use his arms to represent the snakes, but I'm pretty sure he was just flexing at that dude.
He does that a lot.
Yeah.
That's the only reason that he does that.
Yeah.
To show off the sweet Will of Pain guns.
He's like, they look kind of like pythons. So they run into one guy who tells them that there's been a growing snake cult taking over in a lot of cities, and then he sells them some drugs. Arnold freaks out a little and punches a camel.
Right.
And then
that camel had it coming.
Which, absolutely.
Which apparently was a trivia tidbit in IMDb for Jingle All the Way that I think I said. that Arnold.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that vaguely. Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it's true because it wasn't in this movie. It like it really looks like he punches this camel.
It kind of does.
I think he really did. Like, there's a lot of fake fight scenes, but this one looks real.
This one looks real. That camel is fucking swaying afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Went down.
And then Subo suggests that they go to the Tower of Serpents since Arnold won't shut up about snakes.
Yeah.
Subo also tells Arnold about the Eye of the Serpent, which is this huge ass gem that's inside the tower that they can steal. Mm-hmm. So they make their way there. While they try to sneak into the tower, the buddies run into a lady thief on the same mission, and they decide to team up. And I just want to note at this point, I don't know when we are supposed to find out Lady Thief's name, because
they don't say it at all.
They don't say it once throughout the movie. Nope. Okay, so I'm not crazy.
Women don't matter.
So I looked it up, and her name is Valeria, and that's what I'm going to say from here on out. But yeah,
sounds like an STD.
I thought I was crazy.
No, it was it was part of the trivia.
Okay,
where they don't say they don't say her name. But also, like when Super Guy is explaining to Arnold what they're doing next, it threw me off because so his voice is dubbed.
Yeah,
he sounds, the guy they got to dub it sounds really similar to Mako.
Yes, he sounds very
similar
to me.
I was like, wait, who's talking? And then once he mentioned something that, I was like, oh, never mind, Super Guy.
Could you imagine if the Chronothor came in like around this part? He's like, Arnold just met this woman, has no name. They're going to fucking party.
So after the trio makes the long climb to the top of the tower, it seems like Subo might be having second thoughts when he notes the terrible smell coming from inside, to which Valeria just replies, do you want to live forever? And starts climbing down those ropes. The three of them climb down to the inside of the tower, which appears to be either some sort of temple or possibly the ladies' sect of the Ku Klux Klan. Once inside, Valeria points out the high priest of the cult, who is second in command to Thulsa Doom, who she claims is over 1,000 years old.
Okay, so Erica has heard James Earl Jones' character's name. What is it?
Thulsa Doom.
Okay, yeah, she thought it said Salsa Doom. And now that's what I have it throughout my whole notes now.
And that
just
is
Salsa
a better
Doom.
Name. That's a better name, yep.
You know, like Chris, Salsa Doom just sounds like a really, really hot salsa you'd buy.
Salsa Doom. Chris, you brought up a good point. Like, there's I think that Arnold may have had, like, COVID. Like, the first symptom of COVID is throughout the film, he doesn't smell anything. Like when he's around all these dead people, he's just like looking at their swords. Yep, like, you know, that place would smell terrible.
Yeah, it smelled god awful.
Hey, he's just got really bad dust allergies, like me. Whenever him or me are in Southern California, it just destroys us.
Well, I wish they would address that in the film, because that would have made more sense. You know?
Clearing up a plot hole.
Yep.
Yeah. quick question, though, quick nerd question for you, Chris. So Conan is Marvel comic.
Yes.
Is James Earl Jones' character related to Dr. Doom?
It's just
definitely.
Like an ascendant.
Absolutely.
Wait, I mean, that was a serious question.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Because they didn't bring Conan into the Marvel universe until like the 70s or something. Yeah. Like Conan was like a book character. This was like a book series from like the 30s, I think. I don't remember exactly when, but... Yeah.
I thought it was nonfiction.
Yeah. No, this is like history of the world.
Yeah.
But so he's not related. He, for the most part, his comics don't interact with any Marvel shit until like very recently. Like they actually bring
him into
he's actually in the Marvel universe now. But but back in the 70s and 80s, he just had his own separate line of comics that was published.
That's
by Marvel.
Because like if you watch his story, it sucks.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, it really fucking sucks.
Yeah,
I always see articles saying like how Arnold Schwarzenegger's, they're trying to get him to join the Marvel Universe, and I really hope he comes in his coming.
that'd be fucking amazing.
He's just as dumb as he is in this, and just like
just like chopping people's head off,
just like doofusing his way through the movies, like he is in this movie, because he's not badass at all in this movie. He keeps fucking up and just like Forrest Gumping his way through this fucking movie.
They just need a like WandaVision, but Super Conan, where it's like him and the other guy,
Super Tai.
Super Tai,
Subonan.
Yeah, they're just on little adventures and everything. and
it'd be great.
But it turns out the witch that he smashed and then threw into the fire, that was Agatha. And the Harkus. So that's how it all. That's how he gets.
That's
sucked
it. That's how you tie it in. Yep.
Yep.
Perfect. Boom.
I still don't get it. Like, I don't know why the fuck she was in this film. It's crazy,
dude.
I don't understand. When I watch this film, I'm like, what the fuck is happening? I said that the whole fucking film.
So everybody wants to say Iron Man is the first like MCU movie, but this is the first one. So that's actually Agatha. Harkus or whatever the fuck her name is.
Yep.
So that's like they didn't figure out the post credit like tease tie-in thing back in 1982, but that's what that scene would have been, and introducing that character, and therefore now in the current MCU, that's how Conan is going to be brought in, is because of that scene. So
no shit. So she is coming back. Sense. I told you. Then it all makes sense. But fucking 40 years later. Yeah. Oh.
So Arnold. So back in the tower, Arnold and Subo go to check out the bottom level of the tower while Valeria scouts out the upper levels. Arnold and Subo go down there and find a ceremonial pit housing a buttload of gems, including the Eye of the Serpent. But also a humongous snake is coiled underneath the gems. And meanwhile, upstairs, Valeria has replaced one of the priestesses as they prepare a human sacrifice.
This is basically like a sex cult, right?
It seems like it, yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
we see that the high priest is discount Jesse Ventura from before. Arnold manages to steal most of the gems without waking the snake, but as he's reaching for the Eye of the Serpent, which is the big one, the scene suddenly turns into an Old Spice commercial, and he starts sweating so profusely that a bunch of it drips into the snake's eye and wakes it up, although he doesn't notice yet.
I just love how he has no sweat on his head before, like two cuts before or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. He has nothing, and then he gets, he's just dripping.
Also, are we sure that's sweat and not body oil? Like, you know.
That's true, man.
Just like,
I don't know, man.
He had Subo oil him up in the tunnel as they were getting ready to steal the tools.
Gotta look good.
That was a pretty big snake, though. Like, I'd be sweating too if I was next to that snake. I mean,
it's fucking gigantic.
I mean, I sweat when I eat, so.
Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you sweat around that snake? It seems plausible. Yeah. It seemed like one of the only plausible things in the movie when he was sweating.
So, as Arnold is leaving, he notices a trinket on the wall that matches the symbol of the men who killed his parents. He's kind of staring at the symbol and begins to pull it off the wall when all of a sudden the snake is up and is getting ready to strike. But he notices just in time and stabs through its jaws. He wrestles with it just long enough for Subo to shoot it with a couple of arrows. Subo then tosses Arnold his sword and he cuts off the snake's head.
Man, that snake didn't even put up a fight.
No, like not even close to a fight.
Exactly, like although maybe it didn't know how to fight, like the only thing it's ever really dealt with are like early 1980s white women. So... They probably just saw Arnold's long hair and sweet boobs and was like, sweet dinner time. Yes. And then
does is sleep around like at the bottom of the thing. Yeah, maybe.
This is still the part of the movie I like. There's really no point. I mean, he's just partying, like stealing shit, killing snakes. I'm like, fuck yeah, Arnold. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Back upstairs, the human sacrifice is finally ready to throw herself down into the ceremonial pit. But when she does, everyone sees that the snake has been beheaded. And then one of the priestesses sees Arnold and Subo climbing back out of the tower and alerts everybody else.
I love her costume change on the way up.
Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Valeria accidentally reveals herself and then makes a daring escape by grabbing a rope and using one of the guards as a counterweight. They never go back to it, but I really like the fact that the human sacrifice from before, she's still alive. She's just down there screaming at the bottom of the pit. And it just, again, reminded me of Austin Powers, kind of. Like what's his name?
Will Ferrell.
Yeah, Will Ferrell's character when he gets trapped. He's like, I'm very badly hurt down here. But the trio is apparently trapped at the top of the tower until Valeria notices that there's a pool down below. She asks again if they want to live forever, basically calling them pussies and daring them to jump. And then she jumps off the tower down into the water.
It's a weird thing she says, though. Like, her dialogue sucks.
It's
like,
a little weird.
The dialogue sucks.
Yeah.
Even when she comes back from the dead later, I don't mean to do a spoiler, but like what she says in the middle of that fight scene, I'm like, what the fuck did she just say?
Well, I mean, the screenwriters of this don't really know how to write women, especially since they can't even fucking get to the point of giving them a name.
Yeah,
they haven't got to that. They're like, all right, but, we just.
But also, this was written like in the 30s, like you said. So,
yeah,
you
know, definitely.
She might not have had a name.
She may not have had a name in the book. Yeah.
19-dickety-2.
The book just has ellipses.
There's drawings of boobs in the book. It's like Kurt Vonnegut, but instead of assholes, he draws boobs.
Vonnegut's asshole drawings are top notch.
I love it, man.
Like it's amazing.
I read the first one of those when I was like 11. I was like, this is my favorite author ever. There's an asshole in this book. But later on, we see them partying at a bar and reviewing the spoils of their heist, all the gems laid out on the table. Arnold does some weird foreplay with Valeria and the Eye of the Serpent, and then we get another montage of them boning for what mm-hmm. I assume is like several months straight, just based on the length of the montage.
Yeah. There's some good side boob in that.
Yeah.
So like you said, there's a bunch of gems on the table that she tries to grab and Conan stops her. It made me curious how much gems cost, so I looked it up because I was... And apparently rubies are the most expensive of the colored gems.
Mm. Wow.
But basically diamonds are the most expensive gem. But
no shit.
Also remember reading something about how... But by the way, rubies went from like $200 to like $200,000. But then, like, what was it? Emeralds or amethyst or something like that was like $5 up to, I don't know. It was weird. But anyway, I also remember reading something about how pirate treasures that were full of gems might have been worthless because they might have been glass.
Oh.
No shit.
Because pirates are dumb.
Yeah, because pirates are dumb and nobody's, like, looking at them.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a ring that has gasoline in it, bro.
What about Jim Belushi? He's probably pretty expensive.
Oh, Jim Belushi.
Yeah.
Yeah. That joke was a lot better than your responses, by the way. we can try like to take over.
No, I'm good. I think we got it.
I really like this scene. I like the scene where they're just partying. They're just having a good time. They don't give a fuck. There's no plot. They're like, we're just going to do what we do, man.
Yep.
I also love how at the end of this lovemaking scene, it looks like he just told her something important and she...
Yeah, it definitely looks like... Like he woke up from a nightmare or something, and she like is holding him or something. Like
yeah, and yeah. Like she looks at him.
It's like a weird emotional moment at the
concerned,
end.
Concerned, and then like hugs him once we get past the bone in right here. Like she's like, oh my god, my poor baby. But I love that this movie just decided early on that every character development is fucking stupid.
Yeah,
definitely.
But it's pretty because it's pretty much all visuals and minimal dialogue, which I guess works for this type of movie.
Sure.
No one said this either, but. Have you guys noticed that she overacts everything? She overacts every scene. And he doesn't really act at all. He just kind of like, like stumbles through the whole film.
Definitely. So after they do the boning, we cut back to some other bar to see them still partying and living off of the riches from the tower. We see that Arnold has turned the Eye of the Serpent into a necklace for Valeria, which seems like an awful idea to me.
I like the materialistic parts of the film, like pure capitalism. Those are the parts I identify with. I don't identify with anything else in this film.
The narrator notes at this point that all this partying has dulled Arnold's killer instinct, and we see he's right as a hungover Arnold slams his face into a bowl of slop as the cops show up to arrest him.
Yeah. He would have died in that if she wouldn't knocked him over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He would have drowned.
Would have died in his suit. The end. And then they have the chronicler come in and like, this is the tale of Conan the Barbarian. Died in his suit.
Now we call him Conan the Aspirator.
That voiceover at the end would be great. Did you see the bubbles like on the side of his head?
But if it's the same voiceover from the end of the actual movie?
Yeah.
And That'd Conan went on to
And that's going to do it for part one of our summary of Conan O'Barbarian. But we'll be back in about a week and a half with the second half of the summary, and then we'll have the final episode with the trivia and the games and the irons pumped a few days later. Thanks so much for listening, and I guess...
See you at the party, Richter!
If you enjoy our show, please consider giving us a positive review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at ThePottyRichter to make sure you never miss an episode. See You with the Potty Richter is a production of Tape Deck Media. Follow Tape Deck on Instagram at tapedeck_media or look us up on Facebook for more hilarious podcasts.